Welcome back to the Trade Warriors Podcast, everybody. This is the comic book show where we talk about a different trade paperback every single week.
Welcome back to you. You're in my house.
I sure am. So you should be welcoming me back.
Welcome back, Nathan. Welcome back, everybody, to my house.
But our podcast.
Correct. My podcast that you so generously come on every week and edit everything.
And come up with the notes for the stories that we read.
Do most of the work, honestly.
And run the Twitter.
And I just like interrupt you when you're talking.
Yeah.
And then like all your tweets.
Yeah, so this is Daniel's podcast, clearly. Yeah, and then like
because all I tweets. Do so little work, it looks like I'm in charge.
Sure. Okay.
That's what I know as leadership.
Yeah, but that's Daniel talking.
Did you say that we're brothers?
No, we sure are, aren't we? And I think I did.
What do we do, Nathan?
We read.
We do. What do we read?
Books.
What kind of books?
In comic form?
Yeah, correct.
Every week. We should really have like a script for what we say in the
video. No, dude, it's so boring.
I hate butchering it every single time because we either miss something or add something.
No, it's kind of funny. We read trades, Nathan, in particular number one sometimes.
Yes, sir. But before we do that, we also do the news.
Are
but
we
before
about?
We get into the news, there what? Is time codes for everything. So if you want to, I said it last week, but in case you didn't want to listen to that episode, I've been putting time codes in so you can jump around. If you don't want to listen to news, maybe you're listening to an older episode and you don't care about what news was happening then, you can go straight to the book, or you could just, you know, skip around if you don't
care
for the
book,
whatever. I saw
that description. Very nicely done.
Yes.
I didn't skip through any of it.
I put extra work in to do that. So
what a guy.
Yep. So anyway, let's go into the first time code on that, which is the news, the comic book news. What you got for news this week, Daniel?
You know, I always go first. How about you go first?
Okay, let's see what we got. A couple different things, actually, this week for me. I've seen a bunch of stuff come out about Heroes Reborn, the thing that Marvel's doing. And it seems interesting. I'm trying to find the one specifically. So you said it
like it's not that interesting.
Well, it is, but I don't know how well it's going to do. Because the whole idea of Heroes Reborn is that the main heroes that we know and love aren't there. And so it leaves room for a bunch of like older characters that maybe don't get the spotlight. Or just new characters in general, it seems. But one of the pieces of news I have is that Marvel has just revealed a new villainous team-up book called Squadron Savage, which is starring a selection of anti-heroes like Elektra and the Punisher and other bad people. So it's basically going to be Marvel Suicide Squad from what it sounds like.
It sounds exactly like that.
Squadron Savage is not the best name, I feel like. It doesn't really like roll off the tongue like Squadron Supreme does. Or maybe I'm just so used to Squadron Supreme, but Squadron Savage does not sound...
Marvel's super... doing that?
Yeah.
You think they'd use like a different word for a group?
Well, I think it's supposed to be a playoff of like Squadron Supreme.
So is it Squadron Supreme members?
No.
Are we going to see Hyperion?
Maybe.
Or
because I think Heroes Reborn. I think Heroes Reborn. Nighthawk, they said is going to revolve around Squadron Supreme stepping up rather than the Avengers, which is why I think they've named this group Squadron Savage because it's going to be like either the villains or the anti-heroes. But yeah, it's going to be written by Ethan Sachs, who is a good writer.
Oh, yeah, he did. So, he does a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he did Old Man Hawkeye, which is supposed to be good. We should probably read some of the Old Man stuff, actually.
He did a Green Lantern thing, right? He did Earth One?
No, that's Gabriel Hardman.
Oh, Ethan Sachs. Huh, okay.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Seems like that would be pretty good.
I think he did something with Planet of the Apes, actually.
That sounds more right, yeah.
Okay.
And then the art's going to be by Luca Pizzeri, who I've never seen before. So that's cool. But a different Heroes Reborn thing. This is a separate piece of news.
So these are shows?
No, it's a comic thing. It's a comic event that's going to happen.
Ah.
Correct.
So I like that.
They're clearly trying a bunch of new things because they've created a new character called Night Gwen, who is clearly supposed to be a Batgirl ripoff, but not like they're just doing a Batgirl just because. So,
Okay.
So she's going to be a sidekick to the Squadron Supreme's Batman equivalent Nighthawk, and it's going to be Gwen Stacy. But
is it Moon Knight more like the Batman equivalent?
I think not. I mean, kind of, but Nighthawk's on Squadron Supreme, which is like a team book.
Yeah.
I haven't read much Nighthawk, actually, to be honest.
So I don't know if he doesn't have a lot of stuff. He did have a mini series a couple years ago that I read. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I remember that coming up, and I'm like, this Nighthawk character looks
cool.
And
it was coming out alongside the Squadron Supreme from a couple of years ago. I think that might have been.
Yeah, because they relaunched like Squadron Supreme, and then they did like some of the individual characters.
Yeah, right? Like Hyperion had a book.
Yeah.
And okay, so I think I know who that is. What was her name?
What?
What was her name? Like her superhero name?
It's Night Gwen.
Gwen.
It's definitely a nuke. It's like Gwen Stacy, but and then she looks like this. So it's clearly going to be like Batgirl because she looks like Batgirl.
That's not who I know. So she had
this is a new person, but.
So Nighthawk had like his own like Oracle. And so I thought that was who that was.
Gotcha. Maybe he'll still have her, but yeah.
Perhaps.
So seems like they're doing a bunch of crazy stuff in this one. It's going to be written by Vita Ayala, which sounds like a familiar name, but I don't know what he or she was part of. And Fareed Karami. So it seems like a lot of new names from, or maybe not like the big, big artists on here, which can be good sometimes. So, but what do you got for news?
Looks like Jeff Johns and Gary Frank are back at it again with their new book, Geiger. Yeah, thanks for that.
We've talked about this on the show before.
But did you know when it was coming out, Nathan?
March.
Nope. April 7th.
This is what I was going to say next.
Their new Image book. Who knows what it's about, but killer team.
Yeah, Gary Frank and then Brad Anderson as well, right?
I don't know.
I think that's right.
Probably.
So, yeah, pretty good team. Yeah, I'm excited to see Gary Frank do something Image, honestly. Same thing with Jeff Johns. He hasn't done anything independent in forever.
Yeah, it'll be cool because I'm really interested to see like what his art looks like when he doesn't have like, you know, like a DC standard to kind of like live up to.
Yeah, or like legacy characters.
Yeah, so those legacy characters, they have to like look a certain way, and then he's really good at doing that. But if he can draw really however he wants,
like a unique character design.
Yeah, or
I'm sure
like
he's gonna kill it.
Or like bad proportions or something like that, or just like even a different style. It looked like it was pretty normal, but
yeah,
it'd still be cool to see.
Well, I've only seen like the glowy guy in like the first cover or whatever that is, in like the promo image.
I thought it was like a spaceman or something,
a glowy spaceman.
Yeah
So yeah, I'm definitely interested in that one. When that comes out, I'm gonna pick it up for sure.
Okay Me too. Looks like there's a little bit of a hiccup over at HBO Max where they accidentally leaked Justice League, the Snyder Cut.
Okay.
It would play whenever you go to watch that new Tom and Jerry movie.
So it played Justice League.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
It was leaked. And it was like obviously like a technical difficulty. But yeah, if you went to go to watch Tom and Jerry at whatever time this happened, League would start playing. Yeah.
I wonder who realized that this wasn't the right movie. Like, who took the longest to figure that out?
They're in 20 minutes.
They're like, Superman's in this movie? I guess that's a Warner Brothers property.
Because it starts with Superman. They'd be like, this isn't right.
Okay, I didn't expect Superman to be in this, but this is pretty cool. I'm into this.
Imagine some, like, fucking 6-year-old just, like, trying to watch Tom and Jerry.
And then Batman says the fuck word.
Yeah, and he kills people.
Yeah, and he's killing people. It was really scary. That's pretty funny, actually. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, it was like...
I mean, it comes out in, like, a week, so it's not, like, a big...
Yeah, the 18th. How exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. There's a new Jupiter's Legacy miniseries called Jupiter's Legacy Requiem coming out, and it will expand upon the Netflix adaptation plot points.
Okay.
Which is going to be written by Mark Millar and art by Tommy Lee Edwards.
Oh, okay. So Millar's coming back for that.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it depends on how much I like the show, because I'll probably end up watching it.
Yeah, I think what we got to do is probably read Jupiter's Legacy, you know, so we know what the core concept is.
We will before the show comes out, I'm sure.
And then we'll watch the show. Because, like, shows, there's always changes, you know, budgetary reasons and whatnot. So it's cool that they have, like, an expanse on that.
Yeah.
So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So where do you get all this news, Nathan?
Twitter.
Oh, okay.
That was specifically tweeted from Image Comics, whom I follow. Most of the stuff I find is from Twitter, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Like this one tweeted from DC Comics. DC Today announced DC Pride, which is an 80-page anthology comic featuring LGBTQIA+ characters from across the DC universe.
I don't mean to be like naive, but what's the IA stand for?
I is intersexual. A is asexual.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Gotcha. So, and then there's also going to be the Crush and Lobo series, which we talked about, which I think was technically leaked, but they were going to announce it in the next week anyway. So, but it's going to be Crushing Lobo is going to be an 8-issue miniseries written by Mariko Tamaki. It's pretty good. And all sorts of cool stuff. But there's going to be, as a part of the DC Pride number one, we're going to get a bunch of different characters written by different creative teams, but it's going to include favorites like Batwoman, Alan Scott, Midnighter, Apollo, Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn, Constantine, I guess, is part of that. I'm not sure what he is, but and that's each of those different characters are going to have different creative teams writing that part of the anthology. So we got creators like James Tynion on there. We got Mariko Tamaki, of course, Steve Orlando on there, Stephen Byrne. We got Sam Johns and Klaus Janson on the Green Lantern Alan Scott one. Because Alan Scott's gay, so that's going to be cool.
Is he really?
Yeah, he is.
Has it always been canon?
It's been a while. It's been canon for a while.
Oh, okay.
Probably at least a decade. Because I think I remember first discovering it in a comic about a decade ago.
Okay.
Or in a comic that came out a decade ago.
Ah.
Aqualad is going to be one of the people in there. I forgot that he's gay as well. So pretty cool.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm glad that DC is like kind of going right in front. That's all stuff coming out in June, which I believe is Pride Month, which makes sense. And then they've even done like a cool thing to like change the logo, and it has like a cool like LGBTQIA rainbow thing behind it, behind the DC logo.
Nice. So
pretty cool stuff.
Good. We like good
on DC. Good
on them.
They've been doing some good stuff lately, I feel.
So. I think they did like a National Women's Day like issue or something.
They did. Yeah, I think so.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
They got ahead of it. I didn't even know about it until it was National Women's Day.
Yeah. Anyway. Nice. Good stuff. Do you have any more news?
No.
Okay, I have one more. It's not related to comics whatsoever. I just thought it was funny and I want to get your opinion on it.
Can't wait.
It's a movie. Elizabeth Banks is going to direct it. Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
The actor, and she just...
The white woman?
Yeah.
She's the bad guy in Power Rangers? Yeah.
Didn't see that movie, but I'm sure she was.
That's the first thing I can like... connect her to. She's in 40-year-old Virgin.
Okay, yeah, there we go. So yeah, Elizabeth Banks to direct a bear centric thriller called Cocaine Bear for Universal. The film is based on true events from 1985, where a 175-pound bear accidentally consumed over 70 pounds of cocaine that was dropped from a plane by a drug smuggler, and the exact details of the film are under wraps.
I did hear about that. That's it's very interesting. I didn't know I weighed more than a bear. It must have been like a baby bear or
maybe
something.
Maybe a small bear. Yeah.
That's why. Is she directed anything before?
Yeah, she directed, I'm pretty sure, the most recent Charlie's Angels.
No, did she?
I'm almost positive. And then she like played a minor role in it.
I feel like there's more news about the Cocaine Bear. Oh, yeah. Phil Lord and Chris Miller involved.
Yeah, Charlie's Angels director Elizabeth Banks.
Oh, no shit. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's the new one, right?
Yep. The one with...
Kristen Stewart?
Yes, that's the name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
nice.
Now she's clearly taking a step up and doing a Cocaine Bear.
Right.
Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Awesome.
What did they do?
Spider-Verse, the Lego movie.
Oh.
Well, they were producers on Spider-Verse, and I think they were pretty heavily involved, but the Lego movie they like wrote and directed.
That's so odd. Like, you hear that title, and you're like, this is going to be weird. And then you have Elizabeth Banks. I'm like, okay, she's
pretty good.
She's earned her chops as a director. And then they just slap on
Phil Lord and Chris Miller,
and you're like,
this movie's going to be great.
What is this going to be?
Yeah, and it's a true story, apparently, that happened. So clearly it was something interesting, but I didn't want to look into it. So
it sounds like something that would come out on, like, sci-fi. Like right after Sharknado or something like that.
Yeah. Or but, like a shitty Amazon original. Like, have you heard of the Velocipastor?
No, what?
It's like Velociraptor and Pastor put together.
I get that. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
I don't know what it's about, but I saw it.
And you didn't even look at a trailer?
No. I just know I'm going to watch it at some point. So.
This looks like something that you'd find. It sounds like something you'd find deep, deep in Netflix. Like, you have to, like...
It was, like, right up in front. Like, I was, like, trying to find a thing to watch, and it was, like, Velocipastor.
No, like, both of those. Like, Cocaine Bear and Velocipastor. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it sounds like something that you'd have to, like, really kind of dig for.
You're, like, looking for something else, and then this pops up for some reason?
Yeah.
But anyway, exciting stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. So that's it for the news. So we're going to go into the book that we read this week, which is Captain America: Sam Wilson.
Correct. What'd you think about this, Nathan?
This book's a load of shit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not great.
It's, dude, like, this can't be, like, I realized when we picked it, like, we just kind of picked the first one that we saw, which is Nick Spencer's run on it, and it looks pretty cool from, like, the cover, and, like, Daniel Acuna is a good artist, and he is a good artist in this, and so I'm like, cool, this seems like a pretty definitive run. Little did I know that there's a run that Stuart Immonen is on, and he's never done anything bad, so we should have probably read that one, but I did not like this book.
Yeah, this was definitely tough to kind of get through.
Yeah.
I was, like, kind of chucking along. A lot of, like, really cringy action dialogue, which I didn't appreciate.
Yeah.
That's kind of hard to write, but come on.
Yeah, so, it's by Nick Spencer, and different artists. There's three different artists in this trade, which is really hard to land as well.
I didn't notice the change too much.
Like, yeah, you did.
No.
You didn't notice the change from the first artist to the second artist?
Like, no, I guess not. Well, I like took breaks in between issues.
Gotcha.
So maybe like an issue a day or something.
Gotcha. Yeah, and so, in trade, it's kind of jarring if you're kind of powering all through it. But yeah, it's just like, and I want to preface again, we don't really shit on books that much. This is obviously like a lot better than anything we can make.
Of course.
But like just me reading it and like as a reader, I'm like, this is just too much, and like it doesn't make sense.
There were so many references to real world things that I didn't even understand.
Yeah, and there was like, there's a lot of,
maybe if you're Nick Spencer's age, which is however old,
yeah,
you might get that, but
and,
like,
and like I've read some Nick Spencer stuff before, and I think I kind of get the same general vibe from his work, which is like a lot of dialogue,
super dialogue heavy in this. Yeah,
yeah, a lot of exposition, which isn't bad all the time, but exposition isn't always bad, but it's bad when there's always exposition, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just, it wasn't for me. And I feel like if you're watching this episode, cause you're like, ooh, Sam Wilson, Captain America, that relates to the Marvel thing, there's probably a much better version of this out there. Actually,
Just the first one.
No, I don't even think it was.
No, I remember when it came out. I remember seeing like the cover. I swear it's gotta be.
I think there was a version like before this.
I think there is like, no, because like his whole thing is like he's talking about how he's Captain America now.
Hold on, let's look it up real quick.
I guess
2014.
What?
It's this one. This is what I'm thinking of.
Oh, all new Captain America?
Is that what you're thinking? Yeah, it's by Rick Remender and Stuart Immonen. And Rick Remender did like the X-Force run that we read. Black and gray suit. And Stuart Immonen, who did like Next Wave.
Oh.
Right? So it seems like that seems like the more ideal version of this character, if I were to just say it right off the bat.
I think
what I read was, it's crazy and not what I would expect in a Captain America book, I guess, and that's what kind of like irked me the wrong way.
So what we should have did was search like all new Captain America rather than like
just Sam Wilson, because we got Captain America : Sam Wilson. So I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say, if you want to read a Sam Wilson Captain America book, you should probably read all new Captain America.
This looks sick.
And it's by two really great creators, but we read a bad one. So if you want to listen to us rip apart a bad one, I have so many things with this book that
this cover is so dope.
It's so good, right?
Yeah, he's got
exactly what I want.
It's all shiny.
But fucking this Captain America gets turned into a furry halfway through, Daniel. And we read such a bad one. So let's get into it. I just want to speed through this, honestly, because
all right,
we'll just get through it. But also, like with this book, it's a really complicated situation.
Yeah,
and it doesn't need to be like that complicated of a book. And like, I can get why Rick Remender would have this take on it, but we'll get into it. So
anyway,
it's Sam Wilson, and he's Captain America now, and he's at Phoenix Airport.
Yeah, dude, that was, I was like,
yeah, Sky Harbor, let's go represent.
Hey, Tempe.
I wonder what fucking airline he's choosing. But yeah, he's at Phoenix Airport as just Sam. He's not in his Captain America getup.
So random.
And he takes a seat on the plane between two guys and they recognize him as the new Captain America when they put two bottle caps that are red up to his eyes, and they're like, that's fucking him.
One guy's got a Steve Nash jersey on from the Phoenix Suns.
Is that? Oh, yeah, 13. I can't believe it didn't.
Pretty fucking sick.
I saw 13, and I was like, that's a Suns jersey.
You'll actually see in the next issue, it changes to 32. Do you know who 32 is on the Suns?
Is that, it's not like Shaq, is it?
No.
Was it? Hold on.
He like played with Nash. It's kind of a hard one.
Is it the dude that had like the weird shot?
No, I remember that guy though. What was it? Sean Marion?
Sean Marion. It's not him.
Amari Stoudemire.
That's, oh yeah, dude, that guy's a legend.
I know, he's so good. Okay. He was in Trainwrecked.
Shout out to fucking Daniel Acuna for putting in the
I tried to look up research. Where he was from. I'm like, why is this in Phoenix? Why is there a Phoenix Suns reference? I thought he was from like Arizona or something, but he's from Spain.
Yeah, well, it makes sense why he's in Arizona as we continue. But anyway, he's Captain Sam Wilson's between two guys. They recognize him, but this isn't the Captain America that we're used to because he's completely disconnected from working for S.H.I.E.L.D., and Sam is just kind of on his own and struggling to do things different from the Steve Rogers Captain America. And he's done things a little bit differently because he's been coming out on particular side of political situations, and he kind of gets shamed for it. One, just off the bat, it's funny that he's like recognizable as Captain America, but he's still flying economy.
Right.
So it's just like,
yeah, I was like, why is he here?
And it makes sense because he's not a part of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's kind of doing this on his own.
Yeah.
There's like a little montage that we see of him like and how he like got here that's colored really well and drawn pretty cool. So I do like that. Like, I think like the coloring and like the art of this book is so much better than I think the writing of the book.
Yeah, the art definitely carried it for me.
But I would like the artist to draw like cooler things, I guess, because what they did draw was a lot of boardrooms and a lot of furry Captain America, which we'll get into. But
sure.
And then I do also like the design of this first issue because there's like a lot of TV news headlines and articles and stuff, and I think it works like as well because we see Red Wing in his cage that he's like checked in like the flight.
Yeah.
And there's like a TV headline under it says Red Wing approval is still sky high at 93%.
Yeah.
I thought that shit's funny. So like the first two issues, I think starting off like okay enough, it's just a little complicated to try and follow. But anyway, as a result of all this, Sam does like a crazy move and he goes directly to the people, creating a hotline for people to reach him directly via like a voicemail thing, saying that he doesn't work for S.H.I.E.L.D., nor does he work for the government. He works for the people. And I think that's a pretty good stance, but which is why he's in Arizona, because he gets a message from an abuelita who's trying to look for her mijo named Joaquin, who goes to the border. Joaquin goes to the border and helps immigrants cross by giving them like food and water and stuff. So he's like pretty good Samaritan, just trying to help out other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so the grandma thinks that the sons of the serpent took him, and so she called Sam because the border patrol and the police won't look into it. So Sam takes it.
So my big question really with all of it. So he's in this tough situation, not working for S.H.I.E.L.D. because he said something at a press conference that was like socialist, I guess.
I think he just doesn't work well with S.H.I.E.L.D. and he didn't really want to do that from the start.
But he had like some sort of like statement in a press conference that made like everyone like hate him. And then
in S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
It comes up, I think, in the second issue, but S.H.I.E.L.D. had this project going on with the Cosmic Cube, which is like a thing that made Captain America old. There's like a whole event around it. It wasn't very good. I think it was actually written by Nick Spencer.
Yeah.
But there's like a Cosmic Cube thing and it can like change reality. And S.H.I.E.L.D. was trying to do stuff with it. And Sam came out against that, like against S.H.I.E.L.D. doing that publicly. And so now S.H.I.E.L.D. hates him for it.
Okay. Gotcha. I did not piece that together.
Yeah, it's really complicated. I'd like go back and like kind of refigure it out because I fell asleep trying to read this first and second issue like multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I was tired, not because it was necessarily boring, but it is a lot to read. I do like that he's created this direct sort of approach to like the people to try and help solve their issues. And obviously with that, there's like a lot of bullshit that comes through.
Yeah.
And I like that montage, but I'd specifically like the design of it because the people that are like giving him like FaceTime voicemails, you can see like the way that it's designed, it looks like it's being played on like a TV screen or like a computer screen.
Yeah.
And I think that like works pretty well.
Yeah, it was cool.
Also, there's like a small group of people supporting Sam and being Captain America, which is Misty Knight and D-Man, who's a guy that's like a wrestler who got superpowers.
Right.
I don't know why those two characters are the people that help him, because it doesn't seem like they have really any connection to him other outside of this book.
Yeah, I thought it was just something I didn't know about.
Like, Misty Knight did some hero for hire, like, does a lot of hero for hire stuff and had, like, a romantic thing with Iron Fist.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And then is in, like, Luke Cage and stuff like that?
Huh?
She's, like, in Luke Cage.
Yeah, she's in stuff. Luke Cage because she was born in, like, Harlem, I think, and she's, like, a cop.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I don't understand why, like, this group of characters is what Nick Spencer chose to, like, have, like, a little team of. Because D-Man, I've never heard of. He looks like Wolverine and the old Daredevil put together.
Yeah, the whole, like, D design looks just like Daredevil.
I think it's supposed to, but I don't know anything about that character, and we don't really find out much about him. Yeah. He's just kind of there as, like, a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. But, anyway, Misty tries to talk Sam out of, like, doing this and helping out Joaquin, and because then that would kind of paint him as taking a stand on immigration and stuff as well when people already hate him.
Yeah.
So, but Sam knows it's the right thing to do. So he goes to his brother to help him get on a flight to Arizona, I guess. And then, you know, then we see the group of people helping cross immigrants across the border when the serpent people show up. And then Sam flies in to fight them. And then old Captain America Steve Rogers comes out on a jet telling him to stand down. So it kind of creates the notion that they're not really friends anymore. So right. That's basically the end of the first issue.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know he had a brother?
Sam Wilson?
Yeah.
No clue.
I had no idea. I don't even know why he goes to him. It's not made very clear. I read it like twice. And I think it was just to get him on a flight to Arizona, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. I think it was just like borrow money or something.
Yeah. Seems pretty sound so far. It's issue two. So we're kind of left wondering, why aren't they friends anymore? And basically the consensus is they kind of are, but Cap is just there as part. He was like there in Arizona as part of an investigation that S.H.I.E.L.D. was running. But Sam accidentally like messed it all up trying to like help the situation as well. But on the S.H.I.E.L.D. side, one of their separate projects involving the Cosmic Cube got leaked by this dude called the Whisperer. And Sam also said that he didn't like the program, which is why S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't like him anymore.
Mm.
Kind of why he's running on his own. But when, so Whisperer leaks it, Sam finds out about it. He says that he's not a fan of this program, openly coming out against it. So S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't like Sam, and they're also trying to find the Whisperer. But Sam and Steve, like, they end up fighting the serpent dudes until one of them teleports away with one of the immigrant helper people. And that's kind of where we're at right now. At this point, I've kind of realized Spencer's, like, super wordy, I feel like. And it's just like, it's like a lot to read because he adds like a lot of supplemental stuff that I guess in hindsight, like makes them sound like normal people because they're talking a lot about one particular subject, but like, it seems like there's room to like cut the fat.
Oh yeah.
But I guess that's like his style. It's almost like Bendis, how he does like dialogue that's supposed to be like character building. But in the way that Spencer does it, it's dialogue to build the situation, even though I kind of understand what the situation is already.
Yeah, so it's just kind of excess.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. Also, Steve Rogers right now, he's super old, and he's known as Commander Rogers now, and he's just like an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., so that's interesting, I guess. But anyway, so Sam tries to find that Serpent Supreme guy that has the hostage, and he uses his Eyes in the Sky ability, which is his ability where he gets to see through the eyes of all the birds around him.
Yeah, dude. Is that his power or something?
I didn't know about this, like, eyes in the sky nonsense. Like, that, like, he's actually got abilities because I figured he was just a guy in a suit.
He,
like,
can build a psychic link to any bird?
I guess so.
That's some Aquaman shit. Like,
that. But it's kind of cool at the same time because, like, if you think of how many birds there are, there's a lot of birds.
Okay, birds aren't real, first off.
Yeah, they're a government camera or whatever.
So he can, so he's got some sort of device to connect Bluetooth to any bird.
It seems like it. But actually, like, now that I think about it, comic book Sam Wilson has powers because he can, like, actually fly. Can he? Or no, because in this he's using, like, he's using technology to fly, isn't he?
Yeah.
Shit, so then I don't know.
He's really nobody.
I guess he just has the ability to control birds like Aquaman can control fish.
He's just like a birdie Iron Man.
But he's got Red Wing, which is an actual bird, so I guess that's his only power.
He could just have a pet that likes him a lot?
No, because he has, like, I don't know. He says that he has this, like, psychic link, but it's just so weird. It's kind of cool in this situation because he's using the intel, basically, of all these birds flying around to try and find the serpent dude.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I could see it being like really useful to try and like find somebody.
Sure. I'm really glad that they just made like Red Wing like just like a robot in the MCU movies. Yeah. Like no one wants to see just like a bird.
Yeah.
Like, oh wow. Yeah,
and Red Wing kind of makes sense in like a couple in like the movies as well.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, he's got this eyes in the sky. He finds the serpent dude in like a restaurant, and he's actually there with the guy that he took hostage. So they clearly like work together. Sam confronts the dude. Then this random villain named Armadillo steps in.
Armadillo. What the hell is that?
He's like a lame version of Rhino.
Yeah.
And dude, he rolls around. And I'm like, pick someone cooler, man. Like, there's a reason why it's Armadillo. But pick someone cooler, man. Like, it doesn't need to all connect like this. But anyway, so Armadillo comes in. He's rolling around. He's fighting Sam.
This is how you know you're reading, like, an ongoing series with Marvel, is because it's, like, flavor of the week, basically.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, let's randomly grab some villain out of the D-list and throw him in here.
Well, it's there's, like, a connection to, like, this whole story with Armadillo.
It's yeah.
just, it doesn't matter that much to like get someone a little bit more interesting, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah. Anyway, Sam beats him, and then he takes the fake immigrant helper dude and he questions him while like dangling him in the air and whatever. So, but basically we find out that Sam is like the rest of the issue. We find out Sam is working with the Whisperer, which S.H.I.E.L.D. is actively trying to find. He's the guy that leaked that information. And the Whisperer tells Sam that the guy that has Joaquin is named Carl Malice. And he's taking young male men for genetic experimentation. And so he's the one that made that Armadillo dude in the first place, which is why Armadillo's in the story. It just doesn't matter that much.
I forgot the Whisperer was a character.
Yeah.
Because he comes up here and then he comes up at like the end.
Last issue, yeah.
And so I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah. You know? He has like got very little dialogue. He just kind of like pushes the story forward, it seems.
Yeah.
So
I'm a MacGuffin character. That's very interesting.
Yeah. So now Sam is on his way back to New York to find this Carl Malice dude, but also him and Cap were like fighting again about S.H.I.E.L.D. or something, but it doesn't matter because the book gets pretty bad from here, to be honest. But like, it seems like the ideas so far, like I could see how this book would be made, because it's like, it's interesting to think about Cap without S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Because every time you think of Captain America, he's working with S.H.I.E.L.D. in some capacity, like even in the movies, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I do like this idea of him kind of being on his own, but this story does not do that for me, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, issue 3, so this one opens with Misty trying to save Sam because Sam went ahead of her and broke into the Carl Malice's dude's facility on his own before meeting with her first. So Misty breaks in, has to fight off like a weird werewolf guy.
I think it's a warthog.
Is it a warthog?
Yeah, look at its mouth.
Oh, yeah, it is a warthog. She has to fight off a warthog guy that's even worse. And then she sees that Sam has now also been turned into a werewolf. But he's still got all of his Captain America clothes on, so I guess it just grows with him.
They're just real stretchy.
But, yeah, he's just like a werewolf now.
Well, no, his pants ripped.
Oh, yeah, they did.
And, like, I guess you can see his rib cage and stuff.
Anyway, but, like, we know it's Sam because he's got his Captain America suit on. But now he's just, like, a big old werewolf man.
So, Misty Knight says Capwolf is back. Do you know what that is?
Capwolf?
Has that happened before?
I don't know. Yeah, she does say that. Yeah, I'm like,
can you Google Capwolf?
I don't want to.
Oh, my God. I want to see what it is.
Here.
What if it makes the story better? because he's basically a wolf the rest of the book. Steven Rogers Capwolf.
Oh, of Earth 13122. I assume that's the one where everybody's a...
A Lego?
A Lego? No.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I guess he's a Lego in here. That's probably a picture from the Lego Marvel Avengers game. Remember
so,
I was telling you that literally every character is in that fucking game?
Can you go to the images?
Hold on.
Oh, okay. So...
Capwolf, yeah.
Capwolf.
seems like something that came up in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yep, 90s. What did I just say? In this story from the early 90s, Captain America is turned into a werewolf by Dr. Nightshade and Drummond, the world's greatest druid. And then Cable and Wolverine show up because it was 1992. And then there was a last issue crossover with the Infinity Gauntlet storyline. What the fuck, dude? Like, Nick Spencer, you don't need to If it's a reference to that,
I kind of appreciate this more now.
I don't like it.
Like, still. I don't like the story more, but I liked the reference.
Yeah. Okay. I guess that makes it a little bit better, but whatever. So essentially what happened is that Sam tried to take down the scientist Carl Manis, but Carl also has a symbiote, I guess, from Carnage.
Yeah.
Which caught Sam off guard. And then Carl takes out both Sam and Red Wing and then turns Sam into a werewolf. So that's kind of where we are now.
Yeah.
So this turned into a furry comic real quick, which is fine. It's fine if you like that.
Yeah.
It's just not what I was expecting. I want to see kind of Sam Wilson in his Captain America suit doing Captain America things.
Flying
around. Literally
the
rest of this trade, he's a werewolf for virtually no reason. Like, I can...
Yeah.
It, what pisses me off is that later, he sets himself... Like, Nick Spencer sets himself up basically saying this condition is temporary and it'll just randomly like fix itself at some point. There's no reason he should be a werewolf for the entire trade. I can get if it's like a gimmick for like this issue, I would live with that.
Yeah.
But the fact that
former issues.
Yeah. And there's two more artists that are on this book that have to draw him in this dumbass werewolf outfit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's so weird. And it just, and like people, like there's no like,
this is definitely
a reason for him to be a werewolf, I think.
If I was picking this up week to week, this would be the last issue I pick up.
Exactly. Like, just it's just not what I was expecting when I was picking this book up.
It's like, all right, he's a wolf now.
Yeah. So anyway, him and Misty go to find Red Wing. They run into Malice again, but this time he's got like this whole TMNT villain style army with just like a bunch of like...
First of all, he's getting an Airbnb. I thought that was kind of funny.
Who is?
Dr. Malice. That's where he's like trying to store all of his like
in an
experiments.
Airbnb.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I thought that was weird, but anyway.
Yeah. Also, not needed. Like, Nick Spencer, come on.
Hold on. There's a General Grievous quote in here. Did you catch it?
I did not. I did not catch any Star Wars references.
It was so he in that panel where he grabs Red Wing. Mm-hmm. He said, "A fine addition to my collection."
Oh, I do. Okay, I did recognize that, and I'm like, I've heard that from a movie before. But
I was like, oh, dude, General Grievous. That's sick.
Yeah. Anyway.
I appreciated that.
I heard that and I was like, I've heard that from a movie somewhere. That's a reference, but yeah, it is Grievous.
Oh my God. How do you not think of that? Like immediately.
I didn't think about it that much. I was trying to get,
you probably see like someone say like, hello there in like a book and you'd be like, that's from a movie.
No, I would know that that's Star Wars, but yeah. So anyway, Malice has like a bunch of humanoid animal army people.
He legit
looks like TMNT.
He has a mutant turtle.
He does, yeah.
And so I'm like,
it looks like a snapping turtle, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Sam and Misty take them all down, but now they see that Red Wing was morphed with Joaquin, the guy that Sam was trying to save initially. And so now Joaquin is like a weird bird man. So they take Malice in and they figure out that Sam's condition is temporary, but they don't know about Joaquin yet. Then the Whisperer guy calls in, letting him know that Malice was actually working for the business called Serpent Solutions, which is a company run by the Serpent Society, trying to sell people like their drug tech or something.
Like cosmetic stuff or
like,
something?
They go first to a cosmetic company, but they plan on growing to like big pharma and stuff. And I think they just want to sell the what they've figured out from fusing people into animals to different industries. It's really convoluted. But anyway, the Serpent Society is like behind all this.
Yeah.
Which I get why you put them in, because it's like this is all dealing around with animals for some reason.
Uh-huh.
But like, and I can kind of tell the Serpent Society is coming in at some point because serpent was a word used for the guys at the border.
Yeah.
But it's not really like the most incredible villain. Like if I'm... No one's like, fuck yeah, the Serpent Society, you know?
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah.
like no one's like, oh man, I was going to drop this book, but now that the Serpent Society made a business,
I don't know,
I'm in.
Where I know them from, but I definitely forgot about them.
They've come up.
Or just any of these characters.
Yeah. I just recognize their costumes because they're weird, ridiculous, like snake or lizard style
like
costumes.
Cowls,
yeah. So... Anyway, issue 4 opens up with one of the serpent bad guys named Viper. He's in his full-ass outfit, his suit, talking to the boardroom of this company, trying to sell his drugs or whatever. And there's one guy in there that stands up and says that he won't support a villain. But then Viper brings up like phone production and how the pain of the people that make phones in like China or whatever helps the overall many people,
like sweatshops and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
So he's bringing up that the people that suffer there is helping a greater good, but then that, you know, then the business guy tries to leave and then Viper has him killed. And so everyone in this boardroom is just like casually watching this man get killed by a big beastie serpent man, and they're totally cool with it.
Yeah,
it seems. Also, there's a change in art at this point. So it leaves from Daniel Acuna and goes to a different artist. And for me, apparently you didn't recognize it, but it changes to Paul Renaud, who I'm not familiar with, but I did notice a change.
I think he's pretty good.
He's very good. I just don't want to see him draw the Serpent Society or
like 100 times
or Werewolf Captain America, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like he makes Viper look cool. He makes all the Serpent Society look cool, but these aren't the characters I want to see that look cool, you know?
Yeah.
Nor do I want to see Werewolf Captain America with this artist. Anyway, it's just weird. And like there's figments of like this kind of makes sense in Nick Spencer's writing, because I kind of like the idea behind villains working with big corporations to kind of like do some dirty work with them. Yeah, just the way that, I don't know, he does it, just kind of like boring. And why the Serpent Society again? But anyway, so it goes back to Cap. He takes a few pages to recap everything so far, because he does that every issue for some reason to catch the reader up.
He talks about like his like,
he talks about how he got there,
how he feels like a wolf.
Yeah.
And he like barks at people who come to his door.
And he's howling in the middle of the night during a full moon.
Yeah.
Like there's little gags in there, but put that all in one issue and then make him normal again.
Yeah.
That's what I think. But so he finds out that Joaquin's condition as like a birdman is permanent, they think, because Red Wing has a healing factor, I guess.
I guess he's like a vampire bird or something. And
yeah,
because
and
of
that's
that,
why he's got a healing factor.
And so because like he got fused with Joaquin, he like won't wear off because his healing factor keeps the
like,
bird on him.
Correct.
Or whatever.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. I was like, okay,
cool. I can roll with that. Yeah. So
I was like, that's a,
that's creative.
That's
a solid origin.
Origin. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but Cap wants to find out more about the Serpent Society nonsense and what they're doing. So he talks to an ex Serpent Society member named Diamondback, who is now a stripper because she's like kind of poor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Nick Spencer just has a page every issue catching everyone up on the stupid shit that happened because it's really hard to follow. That's what I noticed this issue. And so him and Diamondback go to get, like, breakfast.
Wasn't Diamondback, like, the villain in, like, the first issue,
yes,
first season of Luke Cage?
Yes.
And it was, like, a big black dude?
Yes.
Okay.
This is a different Diamondback.
Ah.
Who apparently dated Captain America, the normal Captain America at one point.
Yeah.
So I guess that makes... that's some sort of connection to Captain America that I don't know.
It's sure.
Like the more and more I like look into it, I'm like, okay, I guess Serpent Society, but it's still not, still not like a great idea to me.
Yeah.
So they're talking about the serpents over breakfast. He's trying to figure out more about what their plan is, I guess. People are just feeding a werewolf Captain America like it's fucking normal. Like there's no line about people thinking that it's weird or making any jokes, so it's like there's no reason for this werewolf to fucking be a werewolf.
Yeah, he like pays for a latte.
It's just really annoying. Yeah. But as they're talking about it, a truck crashes into them and that ends up being the Serpent Society. So there's like a big fight. Diamondback gets taken out and Cap does well like fighting up against them up until Diamondback betrays him and then hits him with poison diamond daggers that paralyze him, and then he wakes up in the Serpent Solutions boardroom. So
dude, there's this bit where like Viper's golfing with those people in the boardroom and he's got like his mask on still, and then he's got like a driver's hat and like a fucking sweater vest.
Like that's
like he's
kinda,
going golfing.
That's kind of fun too. Like he's showing his normal arms too. Like
yeah,
his costume is like a full body costume. I didn't even know the dude was white, but like when he's golfing, you just see his arms there and he's like talking to these business guys.
I thought that was
like
funny.
That's kind of funny, I guess, but yeah. Also, Diamondback, one of the things with her is that she's like kind of poor and she didn't want to be a serpent anymore, which is why Cap is going to talk to him. But I feel like if you're poor, you probably shouldn't be throwing diamond things at people as your gimmick.
Yeah, that's why probably why she's poor. Stop buying diamond daggers.
Yeah, I just buy diamonds and throw them away. I don't know why I don't have any money.
Maybe she just like reuses them.
Also, being a stripper, like it seems Nick Spencer as a writer is like, I want to make this person poor, this woman poor.
No, strippers do really well.
I know.
At least the ones I've seen on TikTok.
That's why she's a stripper. It seems weird that he would be like, I'm going to make this character a stripper.
I guess like it might be seen as like a last resort for some people.
I guess.
Like if this doesn't work, I'll just go to stripping or something like that.
I feel like if I were to write or if I were to just have a character be poor, but doing something kind of desperate for money, she's a villain. She could just be like a low key hitman kind of deal.
Yeah. I thought you were about to say Uber driver. I'm like, yeah,
probably. Or like an Uber driver. Yeah. You know, delivering DoorDashes.
Yeah, dude.
So
Postmates, that could be cool.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess,
like, oh yeah, I believe that, man.
It's, yeah.
Times are hard.
Yeah. And New York, I bet it's a bitch to get any food anywhere. So,
oh dude, fuck
they'd
that.
Probably get hella tips.
Charge up the ass for everything.
Yeah.
It's like $100 for a taco.
I feel like she should just not throw away her diamonds. She'd be good. Maybe just use like steel instead, like a normal person, or like aluminum, you know?
You know, I didn't think about that. But yeah. They got this sick serpent boardroom where like they got this fat like viper statue in the back.
Yeah, that is kind of sick.
I just kept thinking about the logistics of how they got it up there.
I don't know, but it's cool to draw, which is why I'm sure that this new artist drew it, because drawing people sitting in a boardroom is not interesting.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a cool thing for Viper to stand in front of.
Yeah, it's a big power move, I would say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, where we're at right now, Cap comes to, he's strapped down in this chair, and all the serpents are just there sitting on a boardroom table.
There's also, like, an origin for Joaquin and then Diamondback.
That's next issue. I'm about to get into that.
Oh, I thought you didn't.
Okay. So, yeah, there's a bit of an origin for Joaquin's character, which basically tells the reader again what's happened up to this point.
And what he does.
Yeah, and what he does. But he's an immigrant from Mexico. He crossed the border. It was really hard on him, so now he helps other people try and cross the border and make a good life here in America.
Yep.
Which is cool. Except right now, he's cuffed to the bed and being babysat by this D-Man guy that comes in again randomly.
Every time you say his name, I think of D-Bear from Chew.
That's a much better character.
Way more. So
also,
much more depth.
Joaquin character grew up in Tucson. Hell yeah.
Nah, not really. Tucson?
No, it's not a cool part, but it's like a character from Arizona, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, are there any other ones? I can only think of Nova, who lives in Surprise, Arizona.
What?
The kid Nova.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he lives in Surprise. I don't think there's any other like important Arizona characters.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, let's look it up.
Superheroes from
Keep looking it up. I'll keep going with just this issue, which I hate. But so there's like also a little bit of filler on Diamondback at this point. So essentially after she stopped dating Captain America, which is like, what the fuck? How did that happen? But doesn't matter. She meets a guy named Frank, who was known as the Constrictor for the Serpent Society. She gets engaged to Frank, but then he gets really sick, and then Diamondback can't pay it since she left the Serpents and doesn't have any money. So Frank ends up dying, her fiance, and then she becomes a stripper, and then that's where Viper finds her to re-recruit her to the Serpents to like stick it to the man, essentially. You find Arizona characters?
You know, this is kind of hard.
What do you mean?
I guess Miss Martian lives there.
Okay.
Rip Hunter. He from like Legend of Tomorrow, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Weird.
Do you know who Enigma is?
Enigma?
Yeah.
Is that a DC character?
I think so.
This sounds familiar, but I don't care about him.
I don't think there's like a database for this.
There should be. Let's make that, dude.
a very small Wikipedia page with like four names on it.
Let's make our own website. Have it just be the United States, and people can click on a state and they can see all the characters and comics that
are
from there.
There's a character called American Eagle from Marvel.
That's a business that sells clothing. It's an apparel company, actually.
You know, I didn't think about that.
American Eagle is his name. I feel like a character is only from Arizona.
Rick Jones? Don't we know that?
Rick Jones is...
That's the dude who is like... He was like Hulk or something, but he was also in... He was a Hulk, but he was in...
also an A-Hulk.
Alias, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like...
Oh yeah, Nova. Damn, that's so weird.
Isn't that cool?
I guess Rambo is from Arizona. This is like a
Monica Rambo?
No, no, no. John Rambo.
Oh, like Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is like a list of people from just in fiction that are from Arizona.
Okay.
It's a pretty small list.
Yeah. I feel like a character is only from Arizona if they need to have an origin where they just like aren't interesting. Or literally an alien like Miss Martian.
It's always like such a surprise
when it's people like are from Arizona and New Mexico are like the two that are like lumped together. Like you're from those two areas if you want a background that's like shitty.
Yeah, where you don't want to be asked what your background is.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, that was fun.
So anyways, Sam is currently paralyzed from the poison that he got. And then Viper is like telling him his plan in this boardroom. He says that Sam basically ruined America and the government is too involved and he wants to make America marvelous again, which... So he created his own company that affects the large corporate America, essentially.
So Viper's basically like a super Republican?
He's basically just supposed to be Trump.
Yeah.
At this point. And Viper's going on this monologue, but he's basically saying what drives America and the economy is fear, because that's what sells people on stuff. If they're scared of something, they'll invest in stuff and they'll buy stuff, like the border walls to protect against the lack of jobs again and like shit like that.
Yeah,
he says that directly, and he thinks that all that stuff will help the economy. So I have an interesting question for you, Daniel.
Okay,
where do you stand on the politics within comics sort of spectrum? There's some people that are like
have it or don't have it.
Yeah,
I think Nick Spencer was kind of in the right direction with this starting out, because like he's talking a lot about just Sam Wilson like kind of sticking up for what he believes in.
Yeah,
that might be kind of like a parallel to like any kind of normal politics, you know, where a lot of people don't like it or whatever.
I think politics in general is fine. It's art. People make art and comment on what they're sort of like feeling or thinking.
Yeah.
And I think that politics is totally fine.
I like fake politics.
Yeah, that's
like
cool.
I
too.
Love like
Letter 44.
Star Wars, because like there's politics involved in that, like the Republican stuff like that.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones, I think the main reason why I like it is the politics involved in it.
Okay. Because
there's all these families and stuff that think that they deserve the throne, and they all have pretty decent arguments.
What about the kind of politics that's clearly about what's going on in America right or anywhere right now?
I think if something needs to be brought to light, and awareness definitely needs to be spread about it, then yeah, that's fine. But if it's just like pushing your agenda, like red or blue, like I don't love that.
Yeah.
Because
no one likes that. Really?
Yeah. I guess that's kind of hard to avoid in a character like Captain America.
Yeah.
But
overall, I agree. I think it's fine, especially for Captain America, because it's a character that embodies America and a lot of America's politics, especially at the time this was published.
Right.
So I think, yeah, overall, it's fine. I do think that this point where Viper is clearly like Trump is a little bit on the nose, especially going as far as make America marvelous again.
He's a snake. That was funny.
Yeah, he is a snake. Yeah.
So I think make America marvelous again. That was so...
I know. It just makes me throw up in my mouth, I feel like. So it's just... But yeah, I think politics in general is kind of fine in comics. If that's what's on people's mind and that's what they wanted, like... express, if that's how they want to express themselves, I guess that's like overall it's fine. Like
I think if it's used to the advantage of the plot,
yeah,
then yeah, like you know, I mean, you're reading Watchmen right now, there's like a bit of that,
correct?
And like,
and it works,
and everything is happening to them, like as far as like the people, because of what's happening in like the politics or whatever, and that adds to that story.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, this like
is not the best example of it.
Like, it's good that the villain has motives.
Yeah.
And because sometimes their motive is really just like, I'm a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can appreciate that. But, yeah, like you said, there's a lot of dialogue included in this, which I don't appreciate.
But. Yeah, it's like super on the nose. But, okay, yeah, so we're of the same mind. There's like a big argument, I feel like, in comics always that is just like, keep politics out of comics. I want it to be escapism, which I totally get that as well.
I understand that, yeah.
But it's it's fine if there is.
Then I just know what to pick up, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I hate Fairland.
Yeah. That's not really about politics now, is it?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's got hierarchy involved, but yeah.
Or maybe if you want to avoid politics, you can aim for a book like Witches.
Yeah.
You know that there's not going to be much politics in that, is there?
Nope.
So I think it's pretty easy to avoid if you're really trying to avoid that. Don't pick up a Captain America book if you don't want politics.
Yeah.
So anyway, so then Viper takes the wheelchair that Cap is on, and then he pushes him through the skyscraper window. And so he's like starting to fall. But luckily, since Joaquin is merged with Red Wing, he knew that Cap was in danger because they have like that psychic connection, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got a head start on flying over there to help him. He just barely makes the catch to catch Cap, and he doesn't really stick the landing because they crash through some shit. But then when they look up, the Serpent Society is all there to like finish the job. Which, how the fuck did they all get down there so quick?
Yeah, there's...
If you think about it...
Like, the falling rate.
That
like,
happened in seconds.
Yeah.
And then they're just all there at the bottom. Like, all of them. Coordinated, they're posed.
There's so many snake villains. It's ridiculous.
I didn't even realize there was that many.
It's like an X-Men
of fucking snake villains.
It's possible that, like, someone might have been, like, made up. But you know how there's, like, multiple of each, like, element?
These
you know?
Designs are all convincing enough to make me think that they're all different characters.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that they're down there is just so funny to me. Because Misty is also, like, in the lobby fighting a bunch of people. So, clearly, they didn't, like, take the elevator down.
They could have multiple elevators.
I guess, but...
I don't know. Did they?
But, yeah, Cap falls down, he lands, and then the Serpent Society is there when they were just in the boardroom. Like, thinking about everybody getting up and, like, somehow getting down there.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
I guess they could slither down.
Yeah. Maybe.
If they have that ability.
Maybe it was coordinated... Like, Viper's going to be like, I'm going to push this guy out the window, and then we ought to go here really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that was issue five. Issue six, Cap is still paralyzed, and he kind of tells Joaquin to run. Then he remembers that he can communicate with Joaquin through, like, the Red Wing ability that he has. But also, Cap doesn't know that for sure.
So, like, because they're
Joaquin
connected to
knows
birds.
That he's connected to Sam, which is why he saved him, but I don't think that Sam Wilson knows that he's connected to Joaquin.
Well, he figures that out.
I guess he would.
Because
yeah.
He like thinks about what he would do in that fight, and then Joaquin ends up doing it.
Okay, I guess.
Apparently, Viper is like a boomer, because like he says this thing. He's like, I have a bone to pick with you, young man.
Your entire like
generation, in fact, millennials, God save us all. I'm like, what the fuck?
I know, like, just cut that out, Nick. Like, just... Like, he's got an issue with them. It's fine. Like, we could all believe that. Don't make it about millennials.
I was like, I feel attacked.
I know. Yeah, and he's like, the Viper's going on about, like, how millennials all just want shit for free, and they don't want to work for it and whatever. And I'm like, dude, come on. Just let me...
I was like, we get it.
Let me
you
just
don't
see a
like...
fight scene with a third artist now drawing a stupid-ass Sam Wilson werewolf Captain America.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he's communicating to Joaquin how to fight these serpents, but... They eventually get Joaquin, and then they kill him.
Yeah, but they bite his face off.
Meanwhile, all this is being broadcasted live and being commented on by, like, a stock market dude telling people on the stock market when to buy or sell. And I think it's supposed to be funny.
Maybe.
Because it's so, ridiculous, but,
since,
like
the Serpent Society or whatever, or Serpent Solutions.
They're, like, a big company, so they affect other companies that are big in the stock market, is the idea.
So he's like, oh, buy, because this is good for... PR that they're fighting Captain America.
Yeah, so he's like, bye. But anyway, but Joaquin has a healing factor just like Red Wing, so now he's not dead, he's back up. Then Misty comes in, and then D-Man comes in, and they all fight, and then they win, I guess. But they take down the Serpent Solutions people, and then also Cap's all good now, he can stand and fly now. Like, that just happens in a matter of panels. But they take Viper, then he drops Viper on, like, some business dudes that Serpent Solutions was working with, I guess, and then Captain America gives a speech on how he knows that they did this and how they probably think that they're better than everyone else and that they're unethical. There's like a big old speech, but he says that he's going to arrest them with the evidence that the Whisperer got from hacking into their system, which is not how it works.
Yeah, no.
That's not legally obtained information. That's...
Yeah, that evidence did not hold up in court.
Yeah, exactly. So
I thought the same thing. I'm like,
I was like, that's not, can you, I mean, whatever, but But then one of the business dudes is like, if you take us down, then like you'll basically take the whole economy down with it because of like loss of jobs.
Yeah.
And so Sam is like, damn, that's a good point. And so he does.
I keep thinking about it. I'm like, oh my God.
I know. And so he doesn't take them down. He takes one of them down and then he's going to gradually arrest the rest of them so that the economy is okay. I'm like, dude, companies aren't relying on just one person.
Yeah, I guess they're ridiculous. All like CEOs of different companies, apparently.
Probably a lot of Fortune 500 companies in there, I guess. But like, it's just so weird to think in a comic book, just be like, oh man, yeah, the economy will get fucked up a little bit by this. So instead, what I'm going to do is just do one at a time and then hope that they don't figure out some way to weasel out of it.
He also threatened like the rest of them to like kind of shape up or whatever.
And he told the rest of them to invest in like the other companies when they get arrested. I don't know. I don't know what the plan of this was, but he thought of all this in a matter of seconds and is like, all right, damn, you're right. And so he like lets these unethical businessmen go without any punishment, I guess.
Yeah.
Until later. So like, it doesn't feel very satisfying, but he makes that decision because even though it looked good for the public to like take down all these bad businessmen, he would get the praise, but that would also be to the detriment of the American people to him. So, which is why he does it, which I guess is like the intent behind Sam Wilson is good. It's mm-hmm. just for the story as like a reader, it's just weird to think of it like that. So he decides to take him out gradually and I don't know, it was kind of dumb, but I do like this double page spread. There's finally some like good composition in this book because the double page spread is like the Captain America logo and like different parts of the star is like him imagining families that are like going to lose their jobs and stuff. Like it was pretty good double page spread.
Yeah.
But then there's like literally like 3 or 4 pages of wrap up, which is just, so now things are all good. The press is focusing on the wrong things about Captain America as usual. Red Wing is healthy now, and then Joaquin decides that he's now the new Falcon because he's in a cool suit.
Yeah,
now
he's got like armor that's kind of reminiscent of like an old Falcon thing, and now his wings are like, they don't look like feathers anymore. It looks like one of the steel.
It looks like Archangel.
Yeah, or like one of Falcon's like wings kind of thing. Yeah. He's green for some reason. Kind of makes him look like a Power Ranger.
He kind of looks like a Hydra agent.
Yeah. Or one of the green fucking serpents, dude.
Exactly. Like, what is this design? So that's the end of the book. But like, literally, that's like 3 or 4 pages of wrap up, and it's like, here's where we are now. There's a new Falcon.
Yeah.
It all ends so abruptly. And I think they spoiled that Joaquin's gonna be the new Falcon in the cover. Not even in this issue, the one before it.
You're right. I saw that. I'm like,
this is the issue 5 cover, which is Joaquin in the suit, and he doesn't come into the suit until the last page.
So you don't know that that's him, though.
You don't.
I thought it was Cap when I first saw it.
Yeah, it's just weird.
And then you see this last page, you're like, oh,
that's him. Yeah. So it's just all weird.
So now Captain America has his own Falcon now,
which is neat, I guess. Like, I like Joaquin. He's kind of a good character, and I like his origin.
Yeah.
I just don't care for this book.
No.
So, anyway, we'll go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
There's barely any Back Matter. Cool variants.
Super cool variants.
What do you notice about, what I notice about these variants is that none of them show Captain America in his werewolf form.
That's very true.
Because that's not what they wanted. I think these are actually of just the first 2 issues, which he was not a werewolf at that point. There's a Doc Shaner variant in here, which is like super good.
Super good. I like this John Cassidy one. That one's pretty cool.
The John Cassidy one is really cool too. Like some retro with like the new on there.
We got the hip hop variant. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I miss those. I think those are cool variants.
Yeah, they have a trade that you can buy that has all of them in it.
That's cool.
Which seems like a pretty good purchase.
Do you own any of these, the hip-hop variants? I own like a Moon Knight one, because that's when Jeff Lemire's Moon Knight was coming out.
What do I own? I think I do, but like they weren't covers that I like recognized, like as far as like the rap covers.
Yeah.
I'd really have to dig, you know?
I think one of mine I picked up was the Power Man and Iron Fist, and I want to say it was like a Gorillaz cover or something.
I don't think it counts as hip-hop, though.
Maybe not. I do have a hip-hop cover from them. And then I have a Moon Knight one, but I don't think I have any of the other ones. But I really do like when they had the hip-hop covers.
Yeah, that was really cool. It was just, like, so random.
I know it was. Hold on, so anyway, that's back matter.
So what do you rate this, Nathan?
What's the... So it's the lowest of low for me. I'm just trying to think of a good one. I guess it's just tall from Starbucks.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely like...
This is no, I take it back.
This is the sample spoon.
The sample, yeah. I was about to say, Cold Stone, this is the sample. You don't get any toppings. It's just like... It's just not... Like, it's definitely not the ideal Sam Wilson Captain America. And it's just a ridiculous story. He doesn't need to be a werewolf for that long. I want to see Sam Wilson as Captain America normally, not as a weird furry.
You have this one?
That's... Yeah, that's the one, I think.
I guess it's Mobb Deep.
Okay.
I don't know who that is, but it's a cool cover.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
So yeah, we're not super huge fans of this book, which is fine. That happens sometimes.
Yeah, and it's fun to have one of these.
It's fun to just rip a book apart every once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
I've read other Nick Spencer stuff, and it's kind of like a lot of this. When he did like the did event. Did he
do Spider-Man?
Spencer?
Yeah.
He did the one with Audley, yeah. Or he's doing the one with Ryan Audley.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. Or, well, Ollie's not on it anymore, but he's still doing Spider-Man.
Right, okay.
But I read the beginning of the Captain America run, which is when Captain America was like a Hydra agent. That was Nick Spencer.
Oh, okay.
Remember that? And then there's an event that happens, and that event was kind of cool at the start, but then it got ridiculous. Like, one of the main plot points of it was there's an Inhuman that his power was he could throw up anything into existence.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a huge plot point for this Avengers and Marvel-altering story, is this Inhuman that can throw up anything. So it was just weird. Like, a lot of his stuff takes a lot of weird turns that it kind of, like, throttles me as, like, a reader a little bit. So,
Secret Empire?
Secret Empire, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
And, like, there's good artists on there. Like, Andrea Sorrentino did part of that event.
You know, I think... The way projects are picked are different between artists and writers.
Yeah.
Because writers have to come up with an idea,
mm-hmm.
and then the artists have to execute that idea.
And it's and typically so, the best part of it.
Right. And so if you, the only way there's bad art is if you just don't know how to like accomplish something, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But normally art is like kind of my favorite part of like events, just because I'm like, yeah,
like, damn, look at this double page spread with literally every character on it. It's pretty yeah. cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good stuff. Now let's go into the pull list.
Alrighty.
Or the pull list, colon, shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box? Could I forget it?
What'd you pick up this week?
We got Black Hammer Visions, number 2.
Correct. So I picked that one up by Jeff Johns.
By Jeff Johns, correct. Mm-hmm. We got Rorschach, number 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess Sea of Stars is still coming out. I didn't know about that.
I didn't know that either.
That was number 9.
I didn't see that in my shop.
So. I think, honestly, you have to know what you're looking for. Unless you look at every single new...
I do, yeah. I typically scan the whole wall.
I scan the whole wall, but I still miss things. Yeah, like, I didn't see Black Hammer at first. And I was like, what the fuck? And I remembered it was in my pull list.
Your box.
My pull list, yeah.
Nice.
My box.
Cool. Is that what you picked up?
Yep.
Okay, I picked up a couple different things. I'm trying to remember all of them. It was like 5 things. So I picked up Batman Urban Legends.
I saw that.
That's the one that Chip Zdarsky's writing it. And then there's also the Grifter story by Matt Rosenberg is going to be in that one as well.
Okay, so probably pick it up then.
So I picked that one up. I picked up Black Hammer Visions. I picked up Daredevil 28. I really need to catch up on that series.
Come on.
I picked up... I had it all. Oh, Green Lantern Season 2, number 12 came out.
That's the last one?
That's the very last one.
Oh, man.
Wrapping up the entire series.
How lucky do you feel that one of your favorite characters had like a 24 issue run
from a legend,
from Grant Morrison
and from Liam, like two legendary creators.
Yeah,
surely. It's definitely what Green Lantern needed.
Uh-huh.
It's like, it's cool. Like, I don't think Grant Morrison has really touched Green Lantern at all. It's like, in hindsight, it's like the perfect character for him because he could do weird cosmic shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like weird cosmic shit. So it's like nice. It's like a cool palate cleanser, I would say.
Okay.
And it's just incredible to see what like the two of them come up with and how they execute it. It's just like nothing will ever be like that. And mm-hmm. I think that's really good for Green Lantern. And I hope that the new team on Green Lantern does some cool stuff with them.
Because there's nothing else coming out for Green Lantern while that was coming out, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah, they didn't let anything else come out.
I think it's good that legends like that like still create stuff.
Yeah.
I know he does like a lot with like heavy metal or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that.
And Grant Morrison just publisher. Had another Earth One Wonder Woman come out.
Yeah, dude, it's like the third one.
I know, it's crazy.
This shit might slap, dude. We gotta get
it's,
on that.
It's got Albuquerque on him.
Rafael
Albuquerque, I think.
Okay.
So yeah, they've got to be good. We should read them.
Cause like they normally get one, sometimes two.
Yeah, Green Lantern got two, Batman got two, but they're working on three. So
yeah,
it's crazy.
We'll get around to it.
Yeah, so I picked that up, and I picked up one other thing, but I can't remember. Oh, Nonstop Spider-Man, number one.
Oh.
Seems like a limited series. I picked it up because my favorite Spider-Man artist is on it, which is Chris Bacciolo.
Okay.
And he's done, like, X-Men stuff. Oh,
I think I pronounced it in my head, like, Bacciolo.
Bacciolo? I don't know. It's probably cool. Bacciolo. That sounds more right. But there's a sweet, like, wraparound cover that's on there.
Pop quiz for you. Who is the artist on like that Batman run that we did for the first episode?
Yeah. The Tom King one?
Yeah.
David Finch.
He did the cover for that.
I picked up the Chris Bacciolo one.
Boo. But like the but OG yeah. cover. Yeah, yeah that one.
Yep.
I was like, oh man, it's so cool seeing him do that.
I know. I love.
Because I don't think I've ever seen him draw like a Marvel character. And so it's really sick to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good stuff.
Good stuff.
What I've read this week, I didn't read as much as I wanted to, really, but I did read Jonah and the Unpossibles from Chris Samnee.
Yeah.
Last week.
How is it?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's very much an art driven book.
Okay.
Cause barely anything happens story wise. It just kind of builds up like the world.
Nice.
And there's some phenomenal double page spreads in there.
Okay.
Like Chris Samnee went all out.
Yeah.
And I was reading like some of the back issue stuff, the back matter, but like for the single issue stuff that he put in there. And I guess he like created this when like COVID started and he was like at home with his kids like a lot. And so like his kids had like a direct impact on like the process of making this comic.
That's sick.
Which is awesome. Yeah. He would like draw the characters and his kids would like have an input on like the design of the characters essentially. And like they would just be doodling next to him while he's like drawing this book that's going to food on their table.
That's got to be like so touching as like an artist dad.
Yeah, exactly.
Like your kid's drawing.
And it's crazy
shit.
He's doing it alongside Firepower. Is Firepower like done? Because like
no.
He does not cut corners with this book.
That thing's gonna go as long as Kirkman wants, basically. Yeah, it could go like 30 issues like minimum.
You never see an artist having like two books coming out at the same time. I think he was able to like when there was like that
they have
3 months in comics where there was like nothing coming out from anybody. I think that's when he was working on the book.
There was like a hiatus with Firepower, so I think he had time to do this.
Okay, nice.
But
it's great. Like, if you haven't picked it up, you totally should.
Yeah, I saw the cover for like number two that's coming out soon. So yeah, I'll definitely.
I'm excited about that one.
Cool.
And then I started reading DC's Infinite Frontier. And it's just like an anthology thing, but it's like setting up the DC universe kind of going forward.
Okay.
Kind of deal, and it's. All right. Essentially, the idea is like Wonder Woman's being taken around by the Spectre, like Kingdom Come style almost.
Yeah.
But she's was picked by like this high concept cosmic people because she's the chosen one. I don't know. But she's being taken around by the Spectre to different situations in the Marvel Universe. So there's like a Batman one that's setting up like James Tynion's Batman kind of going forward. There's like an Alan Scott one. As well, which I think is setting up stuff, but there was a Wonder Woman one that covered like the future state Wonder Woman as well. So it's just it's all right so far. I'm just gonna see what it ends up being. I haven't finished it yet though, so
okay, interesting.
It's a big book, but those are the only two things I've read really this week.
My new schedule's been really really time consuming.
It's fine
with class and stuff, so the only thing I was able to do is good little bit of Watchmen reading in there.
Yeah, because we're doing that next week.
Next week.
Our big number 50.
50th episode.
Yeah. What did you watch then? Did you watch anything?
Yes. I watched a movie called Sound of Metal.
Sounds very indie.
A little bit. Do you know Riz Ahmed? You might know him from his rapper name, Riz Ahmed.
Yes.
He was like the bad guy in Venom.
Okay, yep.
He also was like on this HBO show called like the Night Before or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can visualize his face.
Yeah, so he's like this like metal drummer, right? And he like loses his hearing. He like goes deaf because of like his exposure to loud noise and just like kind of freaks out. I would never recommend this movie because it's kind of sad. I felt like it was super sad because like losing my hearing would be like fucking devastating. It's devastating to anybody, but like me like playing music, yeah, I just feel like it would be like as bad. So I can kind of relate to this dude.
Beethoven still did it.
That's true, but I'm not that smart.
Yeah, true.
And so it's just like that's what the story was. It got like nominated for like a Golden Globe, so I was like, okay, it might be good. It was free on Amazon as well.
Is it a good sad movie though?
I enjoyed it. I just wouldn't tell anybody to watch it. You know what I mean?
That's fair. Yeah. It's kind of like what I watched this week.
Yeah, I can kind of run through it. So he tours with like his girlfriend. They're like that's like his job. His girlfriend like is a singer and guitar player, and he goes deaf. And there's like some. Fucking operation he can get to get like implants for so he can hear again.
Cochlear implant, yeah.
Yeah, they're like $40,000, but he didn't have that kind of money. So I guess his manager or something set him up with this like deaf community where he like lived there for a bit, and his girlfriend like had they didn't allow like outside connection, so his girlfriend had to like go home or something.
Okay.
And so he like becomes this big part of like this deaf community, and he's like kind of resistant at first, but then ends up being like a big part of it. And then he like sells like their like RV and all that music stuff and gets like the implants taken in. And so he goes back to the community or whatever, and that he's not allowed to stay there because they don't like to think of like being deaf as like a disability. So
yeah, that's a big part of like deaf culture.
Yeah,
they don't necessarily view themselves that way. They can still do everything that anybody else can.
Yeah, definitely. And so that was like that was something that they did in his time there. And so when he got the implants, it's not like the same as hearing, and they try and like represent that it's like kind of a distorted version.
Yeah,
what it is, it's like it's microphones, but it just tricks your brain into thinking that you hear it.
Yeah,
your ears aren't actually working.
Yeah.
And so that was like kind of trippy. So like when there's like a lot of noise, it gets just very like
grindy and
whatnot. And so he like he goes back to his girlfriend and be like, hey, we can tour again. And apparently she had like this like anxiety thing where she'd like scratch at like her wrist and like get really bad, but they didn't know what it was. But all the scratches were gone when he went to like go visit her.
Okay.
And then when he brought up like music again, her scratching started. And so like he knew that he could never like go back to that life because it wasn't like good for her.
That's nice.
Yeah. And then he leaves and goes in like a park where there's just a ton of noise. And he hears like this like bell go off for like because the hour changed. And then it's like so much noise and he just doesn't like it. He just takes out the implant and just
embraces being deaf.
Yeah, and it's silent for like a minute or two.
I like that.
Yeah, it was really good.
That's cool.
Like I liked it, but I'm like
the deaf community is very interesting to me because I
like. Oh, you might like it then.
Yeah, because I took 2 years of sign language and I met like a bunch of deaf people and like talked to them and yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so you might like it actually. That was just kind of a brief summary, but
yeah,
I enjoyed it. It wasn't like I didn't feel like it was like a waste of time.
That's cool.
Which is always helpful.
Anything else?
So like Sarah was like trying to do like some homework or something, but she had the TV on.
She does it a lot, seems like.
Yeah, she was like, all right, put something on that I won't pay attention to.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know exactly what to put on. And I put on Clone Wars.
Nice.
And she showed up right away. And she focused and finished her shit so fast.
Yeah, she figured out the cure to cancer and all that.
So, like, I just, I'm still going along, like, the important episodes of Clone Wars. Because the Bad Batch is coming out soon.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of catch up on all of that.
Nice.
So I think that was it.
Nice. I watched a movie called Guns Akimbo.
You watched Guns Akimbo?
Yeah.
Was it good?
It's fucking crazy.
With Daniel Radcliffe?
With Daniel Radcliffe.
Was it Radcliffe?
It was pretty Radcliffe, I would say.
Yeah? It's not boring Cliff?
He's essentially a troll on the internet at the beginning, and there's a streaming service like Twitch, but it's for people actually killing other people. Okay. Like, imagine Twitch, but like you see fighters fight other people, or like assassins hunt under other people.
Uh-huh.
And like... that's basically the idea around it. But then Daniel Radcliffe gets like recruited for it because he was being a troll on this site and making fun of like the leader of it. And so they go to his house and they do surgery on him, and his hands are now like nailed to guns. And then he is tasked with killing the like top killer on this app, on the streaming service. And so it goes from him being like just a shitty dude on the internet to like having to be in this situation and like kind of be more bite than bark. It's pretty crazy, like a pretty crazy movie. But if you kind of want something to just kind of turn your brain off and watch like solid, it reminds me a lot of American Ultra.
Okay.
It's like that exact vibe almost, but okay, a little bit more colorful, I would say.
Yeah, I remember seeing the trailer. I'm like, that looks fun.
It was worth the watch for me, but I can't recommend it as well. If you like just shitty action movies that feel indie, then that's your movie.
I see it on streaming services.
It's not shitty. It was pretty good. It's just like the story isn't gonna like touch you, you know.
Yeah.
But did that. Been watching more Better Call Saul. It's great. I love Saul's character. Like that, you have to be a really good writer to write that character well, because he talks out of every situation and makes it so interesting every single time. And I love the show. It's great.
Nice.
I won't talk about every single episode because I get through it very slow, but it's good.
Does it seem like it kind of ruins the show for you knowing that he's going to get out of every situation because he doesn't die?
Because there's other characters that are now in there, and I'm excited to learn about them. But then there's like, it's exciting to see how he gets there because he's basically rock fucking bottom as a lawyer.
Yeah.
And he's not even called Saul yet. He's called Jimmy.
Oh, okay.
And so clearly something big happens where he has to like have a change in identity and call himself Saul, which I assume will just be like the end of the first season or something. But it's great. It's still great either way. Like,
nice.
So yeah, the show's good. And then I watched the first episode of Imposters with Sophia.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You seem like to hesitate when you said that.
No, it's great. I liked it a lot.
I was so stressed out. I was like, oh my God, he's so fucked.
I know. Like he gets played so hard. And the chick does it so easily. And like that first episode is like a banger first episode. Cause you're like, what's the dirt on him? Or was the dirt on him like the stuff with his dad?
I think it was the stuff with his dad.
Okay. Yeah. So there's dirt on the family, and then it's like you also set up there's this other guy that got fucked up by the same people, but also there's the other two people that his fake wife was working with, and then those people are working with somebody higher above, and they're just trying to find him. Like, it's a great first episode.
Yeah. It sets up a lot.
Really, really fun idea too. It's like one of those ones where you're like, damn it, like
when the first episode ended, I'm like,
this is a great idea.
That could just be the show. That could be a movie, and I'd be like, wow,
yeah,
that sucks. And then like I was like, where did they go from here? And then they just keep going.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited to watch it slowly.
The whole first like season's like a really good like put together arc. Like,
so Sophie and I were trying to like find a show to watch, and I was like, they don't recommend this, because I didn't want to watch whatever she recommended.
Okay.
I can't even remember what it was, but I was like, Imposter seemed like it would be better. And luckily she was like totally down for it, and we both really enjoyed it.
You should have said, like, good recommendation. Sarah likes this.
Oh, that would have been good. That's a good idea.
Maybe that would have helped.
I think she listened, so. Yeah, so that's everything, except we got to talk about WandaVision. So,
okay.
Last episode.
Buckle up.
What do you think?
I like to say that, like, all of our questions were kind of answered, I guess. I don't think there's anything shocking about it.
No.
It it kind of seemed like a bit of a mess. My biggest criticism is that you could really see the budget in this episode.
Meaning, like, there's a lot of effects going on?
No, like, there were a lot of effects, but you could see, like, some of the effects were, like, a little bit poorly done.
Oh, I see.
Because it is, like, a TV show. It
seems like there were a lot of effects. I didn't think that at all. That's interesting.
If you happen to rewatch it, that one part where she, like, is like blowing up or whatever and is like making the dome like disintegrate, like this like beam of light that's coming from her, it's like not even like on her like directly, it kind of like goes off a little bit. I don't know, it just like looks kind of cheesy.
Interesting. Okay.
I try to look past that as much as possible.
Yeah, I didn't notice it. I was just like, this is like status quo Marvel stuff.
Yeah
Overall, I was like satisfied with it. Like, I think it was a good ending. I just don't know what I was expecting at the same time. Like, the show overall, like, the fun for me was the beginning stuff and not knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
And the sitcom stuff and, like, the creative, like, cinematography of it.
Yeah.
So, overall, the show's amazing. It's just, how do you wrap something like that up?
Exactly.
Especially with as many questions as they left for themselves to answer.
Yeah.
So, I think they did that well.
It's definitely just raised our expectations, though, from just hearing, hey, there's a show called WandaVision coming out.
Correctly. Yeah. And it got me so psyched, and then, like, it just kind of, like, kind of went down from there as I learned more, I guess.
Okay.
Which maybe it's just me hyping myself up.
Potentially. Or whatever.
So, I think, like, when Falcon Winter Soldier comes out, there's not going to be as much of, like, the fan theories and stuff.
Yeah, it'll just be, like,
because literally the point of WandaVision is we weren't supposed to know what was going on. We're just kind of along for the ride until we figure out more and more. But, yeah, I think it wrapped up really well. I do hate that Vision is just fine now. And he didn't even talk to Wanda when he got unlocked. I still stand with what I had in my head, which I guess is my fault, but it feels like it would be better if fake Vision and then, like, real Vision got merged together so that he only remembers up to, like, him being created by Wanda, but is still, like, Vision running around. But now it's just,
so
Vision dies in Endgame, but it's fine because he's back now and he remembers everything. Like, it doesn't seem like there's many consequences going on.
Well,
there.
Then he flew off. So who knows what he's doing now?
Yeah, which it seems weird that if it is just normal Vision now, which it seems like it is, we're definitely led to believe that, why would he not just go to Wanda right then and there?
I don't know. I guess there's more to him to catch up on. I guess they just want it to be like,
I'm just a little like annoyed
that
by
easy
it, I guess.
Fix.
Yeah, it seemed like just like it makes sense that
this show would be the reason why he's back.
Well, it makes sense that he's back. Like, yeah, the way that they explain it, like, I'm totally cool with that. I just would have preferred if fake Vision and real Vision got merged together, and then the consequence still of Endgame is that he doesn't remember anything before being artificially created.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, that's the only thing I guess I was hoping for. But I love the Vision on Vision fight. They're just like fusing and
fucking,
they're phasing and throwing themselves into the wall, but it's like, oh, you phased through it. But then I guess if they both phase, then they can fight each other again. Like, that was kind of interesting to see.
Yeah.
Again, I still think Catherine Hahn has like the worst scream in the MCU and I couldn't get past it.
You know what? I think, what's her name?
Elizabeth
Olsen has an equally as bad scream.
I think it's a good
scream. Because there's a couple screams in there. I'm like,
they're not all great because it's like, what are you gonna like? But yeah, the Monica Rambeau's powers, but we barely see any of them. So
yeah, she has like some powers. She can slow down some bullets, which I guess is cool or whatever.
Mad at the Evan Peters thing,
dude. You could do this.
I still think
you could have done this without Evan Peters, and it would have been okay. It wouldn't have made the cameo as exciting, but like, why use the X-Men actor?
I still think that there's that connects to something somehow. Like, maybe that's,
I don't know how they're going to merge like X-Men now. That the reason why that was so exciting is I'm like, okay,
I think
here we
it
go.
Shuts the door for like introducing the Fox X-Men, which is fine. I didn't think they were going to do that anyway, but I still think it could be connected in some way of like Ralph Boner in a different universe is a dude named Pietro with superpowers. Like, I think they're still going to connect that somehow. Like, the implications of getting,
but why make Evan it Peters, so difficult, you know?
I don't know. Well, actually, I read an article, actually, and basically it was the WandaVision creator saying, oh, I forgot a piece of news. That's funny. Basically just saying that they didn't want people to feel, like, cheated, I guess, by this reveal. They just kind of wanted it to be, like, a cool thing or whatever. But it led me to believe that there's some sort of connection that's going to happen in the future. I'm just because I just wish it was just make it Pietro. It's fine.
They have the rights now. Yeah. Like, yeah, why is that so hard?
It's just, I mean, it is kind of funny if they just like trolled us at the same time. But
yeah, I mean, anyway.
Yeah, Monica's powers we don't see much. Did you see the end credit scenes this time?
What was it?
Monica gets visited.
Oh, yeah, by a Skrull.
By a Skrull.
Yeah.
Talking about Nick Fury, probably. Going,
yeah, he needs some help in his little...
In space.
In his space thing.
The Skrull says a friend, and then in space, which makes me think it's Nick Fury, because at the end of Endgame, he was in space with Skrulls.
Yeah.
So it's probably him. And then Wanda's just chilling in, like...
Yeah, she's just bounced.
In an isolated place. So she'll probably show up in Doctor Strange, is the idea, I guess.
Hayward ended up having like weird motives. He just wanted to like look good somehow.
He got arrested, and like it doesn't seem like he should have got arrested, I guess. He was just trying to like stop this thing from happening, which is kind of justified on his end. The way that he did it was shitty, so I guess that's why he got arrested, for like lying and using Vision as like a weapon, maybe. But
yeah,
at the same time, it seems like that's the kind of thing that S.W.O.R.D. would I don't know.
Yeah.
So he's a bad guy. Weird. He's bad, though. I'm glad I got arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
The Scarlet Witch outfit looked dope.
Oh, perfect, right?
Yeah, so sick. Like, that was
this is
the
amazing.
Best way to have, like, that old school style work here.
Yeah, you know? She got those arm sleeves are banger. The crown that she had.
Super dope.
Perfect.
Like,
outfit's great.
I was okay with, like, the modern version that was in, like... Ultron or whatever.
Yeah, but this is way better. I'm super happy.
Super cool.
Catherine Hahn, like, they do something to her. I think it's the eyebrows, but she like looks like a witch when she's Agatha Harkness.
I think
they like make thicker eyebrows that almost form a unibrow, and I think that makes her look more evil.
She has like a lot. She has like a lot of like eyeshadow, and they like contour her nose to look very pointy.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I noticed.
It's like
that,
a very subtle change, and I'm like, why does she look different?
Yeah,
I think it's like
it's just makeup. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Agatha Harkness is now just imprisoned in Westview, which is kind of cool. I guess that leaves her to come back, which I hope she does. I think she's cool.
I guess like her chaos magic is like hard to handle. And so that's something to kind of look forward to, I guess.
There was some outsmarting from Wanda, which was cool to see.
Yeah.
So that's it for me, really.
It's pretty sad that like, you know, everything like went away, like her kids and then like Vision.
Yeah, that sucks.
Did you see the Vision memes?
Like the persevering quote?
No, like the Vision, where he's got like the black turtleneck at the end of the episode and he's like smiling and like people like put like chains on him and like do rags.
No, I didn't see that.
And then there'd be like quotes like, oh no, me and Wanda don't talk no more. Just like he just like
that's so dumb.
They're so funny. I'll have to send you.
Oh, I did like the philosophical battle that Vision and Vision had.
Oh, yeah, that was the best part.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
He's like...
People think that
he's
it's
like, I'm supposed to destroy the Vision. I'm like, well, aren't you the Vision? And I'm like, oh, we got him there.
Yeah, oh, checkmate, bitch. So, yeah, that stuff's good. People think that it's, like, cheesy, and there's a bunch of people that are saying, like, the what is grief if not love persevering quote was, like... There's, like, a bunch of weird stuff on that on Twitter. It's, like Marvel... fanboys will think any quote like that is good, but in normal movies that's like status quo kind of deal. But I think that it's still a good quote for the situation, and Paul Bettany delivers it in just an extravagant way, so I still think it's good.
That's some shit that like Vision says.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know? Exactly, so that's why I like it. But maybe I am just a Marvel fanboy, who knows. Yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah,
good show.
Very happy with it. It was definitely the thing that I was looking forward to the least.
I'm glad it was just something weird that happened in Marvel, you know.
Yeah.
Because weird stuff is cool.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's the end of the episode. Next week, big number 50, we're going to read The Watchmen. We already decided.
Yep.
So
pretty exciting.
We're not going to have any hot takes on Watchmen. It's been like analyzed so
many
times.
It's been like 30 years.
But maybe we could just get drunk and talk about it. So
maybe. We'll think. We'll see.
Yeah. So... Yeah, that's it for this episode.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to us complain. You can, if you want to complain with us, you can reach us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com if you want to email us, or at tradewaiterspod on Twitter.
Villadania Alejandro on Instagram. Actually, you don't have to follow me on anything. I haven't posted anything. I have no content.
I'm at more like Nate Thick. I post things, so you can follow me there.
Yeah, he's got good tweets.
Yes, it's all tweets. Thanks, Nathan Moss, for the music, and that's it.
Thank me for everything else. Sure. All the other musics.
Sure. They spent 15 minutes on?
Yep. The most creative 15 minutes I've ever, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it for this week.
Alrighty.
Later.